everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Teacher.
Oh, please.
Don't have a nap, they give you, I'll give you a donut if you want.
This is not teaching, this is just big mouthing. I just love to, if God gives me something during the week, I don't even know if it goes with anything else, we'll just throw it out there.
Just do whatever he tells you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning gab session here. Brenda, would you pray? Let's just give our hearts and our minds to our Father.
Lord, Father, how we thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
How we give you praise for the gathering together and partaking of you and even in one another, Lord. We look forward to you speaking forth, Father, and our sharing, revealing yourself even greater within us and to one another. We just give you the praise, Father, and ask that you have your way and be glorified in this gathering together and also the service to come. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know why, but I got this little story that I read when I was reading about gardening. And it has to do with, and by the way, we're going to be in Romans 9 today, subtitle, The Twins. Esau and Jacob and who's the other set of twins? Somebody help me out.
Cain and Abel?
Well, Cain and Abel weren't twins, but I actually wrote them down here because it's another set of the good guys and the bad guys and whether or not we're going to talk about works or faith. So, I love to grow shamrocks. And I got two shamrock plants. One is just fantastic. Big and it just reminds me of my Irish heritage and everything. And the other one, I bought another one and it's just kind of meh, you know. So anyway, I've had the big shamrock for a long, long time. And I got to reading about shamrocks and I read that most people, when their shamrock starts, every once in a while, it starts to look really bleh. And so people think, oh, it's just, you know, that's it for the shamrock and they throw it in the garbage can. And I see a spiritual lesson there. Mm-hmm. Because shamrocks are kind of like us. Shamrocks need a time of refreshing, and they need a time of dormancy, and they need a time of darkness, and doing without water and food. And so I got to reading because my big, beautiful shamrock started looking really bad about a year and a half ago. So I read in this book that that's what they need. And you're supposed to not cut anything off of it. Don't cut anything down of the fruit that it's already had. But take it out of the middle of the limelight, take it out of the sunshine, stick it in a dark spot in the room or even in a closet, and withhold, you know, give it a little bit of water every once in a while, and leave it in there until it cries uncle. No, leave it in there until, you know, you see that everything on it has gone, and there's nothing visible there. And then you bring it out, give it a little fertilizer. You don't put it right back in the hot sun, but you know, you ease it on out and give it and start watering it again. And before you know it, you have a whole new, they're new leaves, but it's the same fruit. You know what I mean?
From the same root.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't even think about that. And isn't that sometimes the way it is with us? Because we go through times like that.
That's
And when we go through times like that, we have a tendency to say, like the psalmist even says all the time, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? And where are you, God, it's prepared for us in advance. Mm-hmm. That we need that time. I needed my time out of the spotlight and in the darkness. And I don't think of the darkness as evil, but I do think of the darkness as where secrets are told and where you find what you need. And it reminded me as well of the story that Oscar tells about the eagle, where he has to, he molts.
They molt every so many years. They lose all their feathers and they break their beak against a rock, and they don't eat.
Break their beak. Mm-hmm. Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, and they grow new feathers, and they grow a new beak.
Why do they break their beaks? Is it because it's getting too long?
Well, I guess so that a new one will grow. I don't know. That's what I'm told, you know, in the stories that I've read about them, and you know. That's what our church is based on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They'll run and not be weary, walk not faint. You know, and the whole thing with the eagle is that it's renewed. Its youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, and that's where that term comes from. My youth being renewed like the eagles. Well, it's because you know. I guess they get all new feathers and they grow a new beak and everything else, you know. Everything becomes new. And, you know, he's renewing us day by day, you know.
Yes.
So when it feels like that the Lord's taking things away from you and you're in a position to where you think, Lord, you know, where are you? Maybe he's causing you to be pruned a little bit and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, think of all heroes in the Old Testament. You know, of Jacob and Esau. You know, here Jacob had to flee from Esau to keep from being killed. You know, and you know, he spent time out in the desert. Here he was out there, and he was trying to get. He worked for Laban for the 7 years to get his beloved Rachel. Laban slips in Leah on him, you know? Because of the traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. The traditions was that the oldest daughter had to be married first before the younger daughter got married. Well, you know, Leah's name has seven meanings to it. Tiredness, weariness, disgustedness, loathsomeness, a whole bunch of different things. The name,
awful.
Yeah, real, really bad meanings, you know, and we all go through that.
Mm-hmm.
We all sometimes feel tired, we feel disgusted, we feel all of those things, and yet we ultimately are going to get Rachel too. And Rachel's name means a ewe lamb, the predominant of a female of a flock, so she's going to bear many children, you know, many more lambs and things like that. So when we come to realize that even in those stories, there's types and shadows in those stories that, you know, and guess what God did, though, too? Most of the children that were born to their father, you know, was Jacob were all the majority of them were born from Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And even the one who would be born, Judah, who the Messiah came out of that, you know, out of the tribe of Judah. So I mean, So even out of the tiredness, the weirdness, the disgustedness, and all those other things, you know, and the last meaning of her name is weary of self.
Mm.
You know. So when
that's,
and that's where we all get after a while through all this tiredness and disgustedness and everything. we find out that our real weariness is of our self-life.
Yes.
You know?
And that's the, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, when the Lord gave me that message years ago, I was coming home from an elders meeting, and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he gave me those three names. And he said, Abraham was a type of the father. Isaac was a type of the son. Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. Mm-hmm. And we fit in the category of Jacob, see? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, our old life is Jacob's life, where we're always trying to get ahead, trying to get the best, trying to do this. Jacob didn't have to do none of that, because guess what? God had already promised to give it to him.
Yes.
You know, but yet in his own struggling, he tried to make it happen. And what he really did by trying to make it happen, he put himself out in the wilderness and went through all of those things that he went through. But that was all part of God's plan too, because he knew what Jacob was going to do. But, you know, when you study into those patriarchs back there, because if you look about Abraham's called what? The father of what? Father of our faith. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus in his, you know, appearing was what? The author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
What did Isaac do? Did you ever read anything what Isaac did? You know what Isaac did?
The
well. He redug all the wells that, mm-hmm. that the enemy had stopped up of his his father, of Abraham. So what did Jesus say he was going to do? He said, out of your innermost being shall flow what?
Rivers
of living water. So Jesus came to unstop the wells inside of each one of us, you know, so that we would realize that we are, that well is in us, you know, it's the word of God, the water of God. And then we know what Jacob did. Jacob became Israel, and literally the name Israel literally means he shall rule as God, you know. And we have to come to that total conclusion that he rules in everything, and when he rules as God in our lives totally, then we will have come into basically the promised land, what it really amounts out to, you know. But boy, that's a tremendous, there's some tremendous truths and all that stuff back there in the patriarchs, you know.
I love to read about those guys, and I like to read about them in the New Testament, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm, right.
too, even though there's just great stuff in the Old Testament. When I see it from the point of view, you can kind of get a glimpse
right.
of that. Well, you know, and I was thinking about the twins. Isn't there another story where the twins, when Jacob, they brought the
they weren't twins. It was
the older shells.
It was Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yeah. Yes.
And even in that story, you think about Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the firstborn. Manasseh was the secondborn, and when Joseph brought them before Israel, or before Jacob, and it says basically that Jacob was blind for old age; his eyes were dim, he couldn't see. And when they brought him before him, he brought him so that his father could bless him before he died, give him the blessing, because he knew it was prophetic, you know, give him the blessing. And he was careful to put Ephraim on the right hand of the father and Manasseh on the left hand of the father, you know, so that the right hand blessing was always the best blessing. You know, you inherited everything if you got the right hand blessing. And anyway, so what ended up happening there was that when he brought him before him, it says that Jacob's eyes were dim for old age. I believe that's the way it puts it. But it goes ahead and says, but Israel beheld him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The person in him that was ruling as God beheld him. He saw him in the spirit. And that's why he took and put his right hand on, he crossed his hand, put his right hand on Manasseh's head and his left hand on Ephraim's head. And Ephraim means causing to forget, and Manasseh means dual fruited, double portion, and you know, And when he did that, Joseph said to him, he said, not so, Father, not so, and wanted him to take his hands away. And he said, you know, he said, you got your hand on the one. He said, no. He said, I know it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he knew what he was doing because he was beholding them as Israel. He shall rule as God. So he made really the sign of the cross when he crossed his hands like that, you know. And what does Jesus say, Scripture say in Romans 8 chapter, that he was the what? Among what? He was the firstborn among many brethren.
Oh.
So we're the secondborn in that realm. So what does that mean in that story of Manasseh and Ephraim? It means that we're going to get the double portion. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and also and greater works than these, because I return to the Father. So in other words, he was saying, I'm going to give you a double portion. And, you know, that's a tremendous thing when you think about it, the double portion ministry, you know. And even in the story of Elijah and Elisha, you know, Elisha came after Elijah, you know. And what happened there? He stuck right with him because he knew that he was going to be taken up. And he wasn't going to leave his side. And he kept trying to get away from him. Everywhere he went, Elisha followed him. And then what ended up happening? He finally told him, he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, I'll give you a double portion. That's a second one, see? And that's all through Scripture. That's why if you understand the Old Testament, it just knocks your socks off, because yes. God was showing all of these things in the Old Testament that he was going to do in the New Testament, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, and he saw him took up. And when he saw him took up, his mantle, he was taken up in a chariot of fire up into the heavens. And his mantle fell down upon him, and he received that mantle. And he did greater things than Elijah had done, you know, through his ministry, Elisha's ministry.
Yes.
But wow, I tell you, it's to me when I read those things and God opens them up, it just blows me away, because I think, Lord, you have to realize all of the Hebrew people, they knew the meaning of these people's names. They knew all this stuff, but they totally ignored it because it was hidden from them, and a lot of them just didn't see it . But you know, now we look back at that and we can see how God was just showing over and over and over all the things he was going to do, you know. It's tremendous. But anyway, I don't mean to go into a big sermon here. Just, you know.
When it gets you,
yeah.
You just have to say it. It's just, let's start into Romans 9, but
yeah.
Let's not start right at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to show you, in keeping with what you're talking about, this is in verse 10, because it starts with these things about the older shall serve the younger, and I just want to read down there a little bit of that. And this is in the Passion translation. Now this son was our ancestor Isaac, who with his wife Rebecca conceived twins. And before her twin sons were born, before they were even born, God spoke to Rebekah and said, the oldest will serve the youngest. Now this is the good part. God spoke these words before the sons had done anything good or bad.
Can I stop you right there,
yeah,
for just a second? Because
yeah.
What did he say? The oldest shall serve the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Jesus said? When he said he didn't come, he didn't come. He came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he really said.
Yes.
You know, he came with a servant's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He became a servant, and so right there again, that's a coordination up with the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's beautiful. Hi.
Hi. Could you tell me again where we are?
Romans chapter 9, and right now I'm reading in verse 10, but I'm reading out of a different translation than you have there. This is the Passion Translation. But you know what? When I'm done reading it out of the Passion,
no.
Would you like to read it out of the one you've got?
No.
No, okay. I guess that told me. Mm-hmm. No, I understand, sweetheart. Okay, the oldest will serve the youngest. God spoke these words before the sons had done anything, good or bad, which proves that God calls people not on the basis of their good or bad works. For in the words of Scripture, Jacob I have chosen and Esau I have rejected. Now, and I like that better than Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, it just gives you a little further look at what it is that God is saying. I chose him, but I've rejected Esau, which is what? The faith I have chosen, works I have rejected. And that's exactly what Esau did. So, then it says in verse 14, so, what does all this mean? Are we saying that God is unfair? Of course not. He has every right to say to Moses, I will be merciful to whomever I choose, and I will show compassion to whomever I wish. You know who he chose to show compassion to? Every creature on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Every single one of us. Again, this proves that God's choice does not depend on how badly someone wants it or tries to earn it, but it depends on God's kindness and mercy. What does it say? His mercy never faileth. His mercy is new every morning. That is great. For just as God said to Pharaoh, I raised you up as a ruler of Egypt for this reason, for a reason, that I might make you an example of how I demonstrate my miracle power. Whoa, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, if you remember the story. I mean, he finally, Pharaoh said, get your people, get them all. Your people, your wives, your sons, your livestock, your gold, your silver, whatever. Put it on Carson. You get the heck out of here. So, I mean, that was a big change from I'm going to slaughter every one of you. And that was all by the power of God, by the miraculous power of God. We can't discount that, you know. Those things were not done by the works of men. They were done by the powerful name of God.
Mm-hmm.
For by the example of how I deal with you, he's talking to Pharaoh there, okay? For by the example of how I deal with you, my powerful name will be a message proclaimed throughout the earth. And I think about everybody knows that story. So again, you see that it is entirely up to God. Everything, this is me, not the patient trees. Everything is entirely up to God. Everything. To show mercy or to harden the hearts of whomever he chooses. Wow. Anybody got something to throw in there?
In hardening the hearts of whoever he chooses is to bring glory to himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. And you know what? That brings us back to Isaiah 45. If I could find it. Mm-hmm. Where he says, I form the light. I create darkness.
45.
I make peace. And I create evil.
Isaiah 45.
Yeah,
but Isaiah
45, 7.
45, 7, sorry. I, the Lord, do all these things. And I also love throwing in there that alternate definition of evil, adversity. He says, I make peace. And I create adversity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's true, and I think he does it all for glory. For the glory of his name and for the glory of every single one of us. and for the glory of every single person, every knee that's going to bow, every tongue that's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You know, I think the very next scripture, what it says there is for the people that have a problem with I, the Lord, have created it. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because he said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Mm-hmm. Just that scripture right there. He's telling you, beware, don't come against this. This is me. I did this. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, I did it for my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were out on the golf course when Oscar and me were talking about that many years ago when he did this, right? We was down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, and I said, people are going to have a hard time with that, but the ninth verse is one to clarify.
I preached a sermon on 45 years ago.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I really had never heard anybody preach a sermon on that in his church.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
When I did it.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
Well, because a lot of people that just goes against what they think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People usually like liquid with their pill.
Well, you have to believe in the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
To receive that scripture, because when you understand he's sovereign, he's in control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he is the sovereign controller, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you know.
And see, that doesn't, you know, there's that scripture that says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according mm-hmm. to his purpose. He didn't say all things are good.
Mm-hmm.
He said all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the bad that you go through, the things that aren't good, mm-hmm. will ultimately end up working good somewhere in your life or somebody else's life. Just like with Pharaoh here, you know, when he goes ahead and he says, for that cause he rose up Pharaoh, you know, he used Pharaoh. He knew Pharaoh was not going to yield,
mm-hmm.
you know. And a lot of times that's where we have a problem. God knows what you're going to do before you do it, you know. But yet he gives you the opportunity to do different. I've shared that story that time about Roy Ralph. It was Roy Ralph. He was here and he talked about in the book of Acts where the name Mayhem is pronounced there. And it was people that lived in Herod's court. And he said, I don't know who that is. He said, study, check into that, Oscar, or something. I wasn't even considered an elder at that time. I had to be the Lord telling me to do that, because I'm thinking, well, Roy, you're the Bible president of the Bible College. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't know it, I'm not supposed to know it. That's what I was thinking in my mind when he said that. But I went home, and I've got a lot of reference stuff, you know. And I went home, and I was downstairs, and I was sitting there, and I felt like the Lord said, check into it. And I went and I pulled out some encyclopedic dictionaries, you know, that I've got, and looked up the name Mayhem, and it gave me a reference to the book of Josephus, a certain part of the book of Josephus. And, you know, I had a book of Josephus, but I don't think I'd ever cracked it. I'd bought it, but I never cracked it. You know, because I don't know, a lot of times when I buy stuff when I'm out, I buy it because I feel like I'm supposed to buy it. And maybe I don't even touch it for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on my shelf, and I went and got it out. That went to that reference for Josephus. And the story in there was the story of Herod. And Herod was a boy walking down the street, and he was just a boy. He wasn't a man yet. He was just a boy, young boy. And he's walking down the street, and this Mayhem comes up behind him, this prophetic guy. He comes up behind him and slaps him on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
Says, oh, hail, king of the Jews.
Wow.
And Herod looks at him and says, well, I'm just a regular guy. He basically what he said, I'm just a regular guy like you. He said, oh, but you won't be. He said, when you become king, see that you do righteously and justly. And then he said, but I know that you won't. And that was Herod, who had all the babies killed when Jesus was born.
Yeah.
You know, But Herod asked him to come and live in his court, you know, and he would go and talk to him different times and ask him how long would his reign be and this and this and that. And Mahim would give him some answers, but he couldn't give him no answers other than what God gave him, you know what I mean? And people tend to think that when somebody has a prophetic ministry, that, boy, I can just ask them anything and they got the answers. Well, no, they don't, not unless God gives it to them, you know. And you got to be careful that it ain't giving you their answer, because they'll send you down the wrong road if that happens, you know. But anyway, you know, so that, you know, that just goes to show, you know, God knew exactly what Herod was going to do, you know. But he was warned to see that he did justly and righteously, you know, that kind of thing. And he also was told, but I know that you won't.
And truth be told, he did have the opportunity.
He did, absolutely.
To do
he didn't have to do it, no. See. God doesn't force you into doing anything. And a lot of times when you say sovereignty of God and you think, well, you know, where does free will come in? Well, free will is always there. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to either do it or not do it. But God knows if you're going to do it. He knows ahead of time. But you're given that opportunity.
Yeah. Anybody else? I know that Clyde's got something.
No, I was just thinking, how many times do we think that God gives us opportunities to pay attention to him more than the natural man? Like, right. You're sitting at a red light, and that red light turns green. How many times has God told you, do not move, or don't put your foot on the gas, and you watch somebody go by you doing 60 miles an hour? I mean, God, that's no lie. That's, we don't, I've said it many times. We don't know how many times God has run interference for our life to still be here. He has shown us mercy when we didn't realize it was his mercy.
Even what you're saying, Clyde, I was coming up, you know how Seward Road is, where, yeah, I live, you know, and you know there's that street that you can turn down to Hasford, and it comes down a little bit below where my house is, and it's not a very wide street up through there, and the speed limit's 25 up through there, and I usually drive 25 because it says, in a way, they monitor it. The police are there, they hide up there a lot, and buddy, they bust you if you go faster than 25 up through there, because I've got a ticket there before.
I was going to say, one time, I didn't even understand.
One time coming down, coming back from a funeral, I was coming down the street, and I was talking to Margaret, and I didn't even have my foot on the gas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just coasting, you know, trying to, and I didn't even realize, and I got up to about 30 miles an hour, 32 or 33 or something like that. Sure enough, that cop was sitting down there, and he pulled me over. And it's a targeted, it says targeted, it's actually targeted area.
Did they warn you? That's amazing.
No, he did not.
No, I mean, they warned you that it's a targeted
area. They tell you it's a targeted area.
Yeah, there's a sign up there that says that.
You watch the signs when you go up there. It'll say 25, it'll say targeted area.
That's another way to say speed trap.
In other words, they're saying, you better not speed up through here. Well, anyway, what I was saying is I was going to turn left and go down Hasford. And actually, I think Margaret was in the car with me. Mm-hmm. And I started to turn left. And I mean, I was in the hard turn left. Mm-hmm. And this guy behind me came flying up there, and he was trying to pass me. On
your left side?
On my left side.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
And he ended up swerving and going into the street, and then part across the part of that yard, the yard on the other side of that street I was turning on. And I don't know how in the world he did not hit me. I mean, but he did not hit me. And I said, I told Mark, I said, I have to say, I called him a dummy. I said, let that dummy hold me. I thought, what in the world is he doing? I mean, he was flying up through there. And I mean, I'm making the left hand, and I use my turn signals when I turn. I don't care where I'm at.
Yes.
I always turn on my turn signal. He had to see my turn signal if he was paying any attention. But he probably didn't like that I was driving 25 mile an hour up through there.
And you didn't like that you were driving 25.
I don't like to drive 25 mile an hour up through there. I think it should be 35 up through there, because no kids play in that yard, in their yards, because everybody's got a big enough backyard and stuff where the kids never play in the street there, you know. But yet they monitor that like crazy, and you just never know when they're going to be there. Sometimes they hide on my street because that sewer, that vintage comes down through there, and they can sit down on the street that I live on and watch the cars come down. They can be down the street a little bit. Did Debbie get caught there one time? I think she did.
She got caught there in the summer. Listen to the mojo.
They let her go, didn't they?
Had the windows down and had the grandkids in the car, and she was listening to the mojo. Yeah. She told that story, and he went back and checked her license. And said, "Well, I checked your license, and you got a clean record." I said, "He lied to you, or he didn't get the right Debbie, because there's no way you'll have a clean record for 10 years."
I will tell you that the right color of lipstick helps a lot.
Well, and women, if you cry a little bit, they'll let you go sometimes.
Yes.
They do.
I don't know how
I told him I was coming back from a funeral, and I said, we were talking, and he said, well, he says, I still have to give you the ticket. I started writing it, and he said, once I start writing it, he said, I can't stop. I have to give it to you. I said, okay. I said, well, thanks a lot. And I said, God bless you, and have a nice day.
In California, they don't fall for that stuff.
No.
Not a woman anyway. Yeah.
Now, I was down south one time coming down one of them hills over there. You know how when you come out of Tennessee, you know, you can get going really fast down through some of them hills over there. And we were coming from a funeral again, and I had done the part of the funeral. You know, it was my brother-in-law. And this cop come up behind me, and he turned on his lights, and I pulled over. He said, can I see your license? I said, yeah. He said, where are you coming from? I said, because I had on still my suit and everything. And I said, well, I said, just did a funeral for my brother-in-law. And he says, oh. He says, well, I'm just going to give you a warning. You can just go on. He said, but drive slower. Southern cops are nicer than Northern cops. Southern people tend to be a little bit more forgiving at times.
The Bible Belt.
Yeah, Bible Belt, yeah. He was probably a Christian. Maybe the Lord had a Christian cop warn me. I don't know. I wasn't necessarily trying to speed. There again, we were just talking. I'm just cruising along, and you come down them hills,
yep.
And you get flying, you know. You know.
I got caught in California coming down from San Francisco into San Jose.
Yeah.
Coming down, you know, like a hill, like, and it was at night, and I was just listening to music and, you know, just driving, and I had to look up, and I saw like a silver dome and no lights yet, and then pretty soon here they go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, this car came by the stick man and me. He whipped out, stopped a guy in front of me down the street. Then down the road, and when I was coming down, he took his flashlight and went like this.
Knock it over.
I said, I was just cruising along. I thought I was cruising along, and it was at night. I was on the radio. He said, well, I'm sorry, but here's your ticket. $200-some.
You know, they've changed the law in Ohio, and they can give you a ticket if they think you were going past the speed limit. They don't even have to prove it. I read that a while back, where they actually told, if the policeman thinks you're going too fast, they can actually give you a thing without give you a ticket. Now, you could probably fight it in court, and you might win, you might not. But they've actually kind of changed the law around here where they can do that. And that kind of stinks because, you know, if a guy's trying to make his quota, he could get you without having anything.
Judge's going to believe him more than you.
Yeah.
Well, he's your brother, and he's going to be there too, so.
Yeah, he will.
When it's all said and done, it's probably not going to be big on our list.
Yeah.
Things to be resentful about.
I don't want to be in a group that's being pulled over by the police. Because I myself have never ever had a ticket.
Yeah.
So all the times I've been.
What kind of car you got?
You know, and pride goeth before a fall.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen.
What's that number? Say, because that'll make
you
somebody
gotta
get you.
You got to drive home today, don't you? And be careful today, because it's a holiday. They're out
down
there.
Here. We saw them all.
Don't tell me. You better tell these ones that got tickets. You know.
Well, I can tell you this. Out of all the people that I know that sometimes drive fast, when me and Margaret are going down south sometimes, if she drives and I go to sleep, or I get on the passenger side once in a while and lay back and take a nap, if I look up, she's flying. She's never had a ticket. She's never had a ticket in all the years. But I do most of the driving when we're out, but she's never had a ticket. And she's a really good driver. I mean, I don't mind her driving anytime. She's a very good driver. And I've heard with Clyde too.
She has a good friend.
I drive fast all the time.
Clyde's nickname was
70 on 85.
The Bullet. His nickname was the Bullet.
Margaret has a good
friend. He's a good driver.
That
too.
Tells her when the drinks are right.
She's got something good. She sometimes will be driving fast, but she's always telling me, anytime we're driving certain areas, she'll say, "Watch your speed, watch your," and they get you on sewer out here on Tylersville too.
Oh yeah.
Because sometimes they hide in that storage place down there, you know, because they can sit right off the road. And sometimes down in the dairy farmers, they'll sit back in the dairy farmers, and when you drive down there, if you're going too fast, they'll pull out and get you. But
Well, I think you need to pray for all of us with our tickets.
Yeah, get that. We don't do it on purpose most of the time. It's just when we're not paying attention.
No, I never had an accident, you know.
Yeah.
Some people just haven't gotten
ever.
That's all.
So, but I don't drive fast.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't. I try to stay within the speed limit.
In fact,
I really do.
My son-in-law was driving. We were coming back from Florida. And I says, "Well, I'll drive. Get some sleep." And he woke up and he said there was horns blowing, people hollering. Just can't, hey, what's going on? I said, "I don't know." And he looked and he says, "Mom, you can't drive 45 on the highway." And I said, "Well, I can, there's two more lanes. I can drive what I want."
I will tell you this, they can give you a ticket for going too slow on the highway.
You might get a ticket for that sometime.
And boy, the cars were just passing, you know, blowing their horn.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
And I was just driving, you know, having a good time. I'm just going down the highway, 75.
Do stupid things.
I probably have to ask you what year that was. That might have been me. Only when I was coming on the highway, because I was never over there after that.
Well, you know what? Really, if you was going 45, if that was recently at any time, the speed limit is 70 most of the time when you get out of Ohio.
I don't do 70.
I know, but it's 70, and if you were going 45, you were going pretty far below the speed limit.
No, I think it was still 60 or something.
Yeah.
I think what it was. Yeah. It was.
Used to be 55 for a while everywhere.
You know, there used to be signs on the highway that said minimum speed 45.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
I think there's still signs.
Yeah, I don't think it's there anymore.
Just don't drive out in Arizona. Max speed out there is 80.
Yeah. You know, really.
And anytime you see a semi go by you when you're doing 80, you know,
he's getting it.
Well, and the thing about it is, any speed limit that they have, people drive 10 to 15 miles, sometimes 20 miles faster than whatever the speed limit is.
It's just a suggestion.
I hate that. When they drive fast like that,
they do, because with all the trips we make back and forth every week, I go five over. I will.
Yeah, too. That's what I do.
I set it
maybe
on
seven.
The speed limit, but
should be driving, come down there, and you see a guy, you know, like,
boy, they fly.
A lot of them, yeah.
Boy, you ought to have seen all the cars pulled over, wasn't it?
That guy that pulled around
today,
me.
Today there's three of them out.
That guy that pulled around me down there on the street that time. I've got a ticket going up there, and I drive 25 up through there. Unless occasionally Margaret will say, "Watch your speed," because I'll be talking or something. I'll look down and I'll be going 32 or 30, 34 or something, and then I slow down because I know if you drive faster than 25 up through there, if they're sitting up there they're going to give you a ticket. Even if sometimes, even if it's just maybe 5 miles over, they'll get you because it's a targeted area. And I was talking to Lindsay. She's a she does that 911 stuff, and she told me, she says, "Man, down there where you live," she says, "that they watch that place." You know, she knows. You know, I said, "Well, they do." You know.
How long has that been that way?
It's been like ever since I've lived down there.
Yeah.
It's crazy because it's a pretty wide thoroughfare
down through there. You don't, people don't park on the street usually, but sometimes and once in a while there'll be people park on the street. There's almost nobody parking on the street. No kids ever play out on the street because they've all got big backyards and stuff. You know, and man, they watch that like a hawk down through there.
There was a sign near where your mom used to live, just before you went down her streets. Was it a blind kid or something like that?
There so, used
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
The sign.
Yeah, you should
up,
say blind
and
kid.
And I'm thinking, now that's what they should do.
Well, I'll tell blind. You too. One
put
time,
up signs like blind children ahead. And, I mean, because they can't even see you.
At the other end of the street, where you, before you hit the circle, you know, it's got one of those roundabouts.
Right.
And at the other end of the street, there must be a kid that's in a wheelchair or something up
right.
there. I'm not sure.
Right.
Because I was driving up through there one day, and this little girl started screaming at me, "Slow down, slow down." And I was up driving slow. And she just, I guess she thought I was driving faster than I was supposed to be. And I told Margaret, I said, "I feel like driving back there and saying, I'm going to have you arrested for too much noise." I told Mark, I said, "I don't want to do that." She was screaming at the top of her lungs, "Slow down, slow down." And I wasn't driving fast. I mean, you know.
Okay, guys.
She thought I was too fast. Well, let's get off the car and get back to your own.
I'm sorry. I feel like I have some authority here.
Yes.
At least, well, you know, we were talking about in Isaiah 45, and that
right.
kind of brought me to Isaiah 60,
yeah.
which I love. You know, and it kind of brought me back to my story about my shamrock and the
yeah.
story about the thing. It says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come." Again, you know, when your light comes, then, you know, you've been through some things.
Right.
And when your light comes, wow, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It precedes. It's something that is a process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really kind of interesting because it goes back and it says, "For behold, darkness covers the earth."
Sure.
They're all in their dormancy, period.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
that their light's not going to come and the glory of the Lord is not going to shine upon them. It does mean that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, and God works all these things out according to his good
mm-hmm.
pleasure.
Right.
And, you know, it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. So, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings of brightness to the brightness of thy rising."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, I mean, I just kind of, that's kind of the way it kind of came to me this week with my stupid shamrock story. And it all came down to the twins and then the glory of the rising. And it doesn't matter what you're thinking about
mm-hmm.
or studying about. If you're thinking about the Lord and all things working together for good, why, it's all the same story. I mean, isn't it all the same thing? There's only one thing. The glory of God.
That's right.
Yes.
I got to thinking about this thing. What about this thing about all the, not so much the twins, because I called it, what is this all about the twins? But about the first shall serve the second, you know,
mm-hmm.
the older shall serve the younger. And it got me thinking about the two, you know, there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
There is self versus spirit, you know. There's the law of the flesh, and then there's the law of the spirit. The first shall always come into subjection to the second. It's all going to happen. It's all going to be good. And, you know, that's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
So.
You know, even in, just to carry on with that a little, just a little bit further. Even in my situation, my brother was older than me by almost 3 years. And back in the day when we were born in the 40s, you named your son after you, yourself. They don't do that as much nowadays as they used to. And my brother was not named after my father. I was the second born son. So even, I hated the name Oscar. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I was always the only Oscar in the class. I was always the only Oscar just about everywhere I went because there wasn't very many kids named Oscar. And my brother should have been named Oscar because he was the firstborn son. But because my two uncles were in the World War II, when he was born, they named him after Wiley, my Uncle Wiley, and Lloyd, my other uncle. So his name was Wiley Lloyd, honoring those two, her two brothers. But my father couldn't go to the service because he had been injured, you know, so he honored those two brothers. Well, I always hated the name Oscar. I always hated it. And then one time I found a book of names for the Christian meaning of names. And when I found out that Oscar meant divine spirit, I thought, well, hey, that's a good name. I'm glad my name's Oscar.
Yes,
you know. And one time, I will tell you this, I did this, and this is something why it's good to check out the meaning of names, even in Scripture, concerning whatever you're studying. It isn't always true, but 90% of the time it will be true. When I was doing children's church one time, I was telling the kids in there that I had this book that told the Christian meaning of names, you know. And they asked me to tell them the meaning of their names. And just about every kid that I told the meaning of their name, their personality fit that name perfectly. So even I would tell young parents, when you name a kid something, find out what the meaning of that name is when you name them, and name them something positive, you know. Because, and then tell them what that means, because every time you call them by name, you're going to reinforce that personality to them, you know. And, you know, my mother's name was Irene. And Irene means messenger of peace. And that's exactly what she was. You know, Clyde's name, doesn't your name mean heard from afar?
Yeah.
And Clyde has that kind of nature that when he gets up and he speaks, you hear him, you know, and you listen, you know, and he says good things, and he says things that edify and build people up. And Josh's name means, it's basically the same as Joshua. I believe he shall rule as God. I mean, you know, it's God the Savior. Joshua means God the Savior, you know. Yahshua, that's God, Joshua, you know. You know, usually a lot of times if you check people's names and check the meaning of their name, their nature will fit that name. And I did that with the kids, and I had a bunch of the green kids, Bobby and all of them in there. And I'm gonna tell you what, every one of them kids, their name and their nature and the way they behaved themselves and stuff fit right in with that name almost every time, you know. But anyway.
I just looked up what Etta means. Do you know Etta? Or do you know what your name means? In some times it means she rules her household.
And, yeah. Oh boy, I'm going to take that home.
And in the German it means little one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her too.
See, there you go.
What?
Little one.
Little one. This little one rules her household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Sometime I'll have to bring that book in. It's really good because he gives a lot of.
We ought to do that sometime.
I've let people take it and look at it before, you know. I think I still have it because I've lent it out a few times to people when they're having kids, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I guess we better quit. Wow. I was going to read one.
Well,
thing,
we'll
no
be
way.
Probably in 9 again next week. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Oscar, will you close with me? Pray for my life.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And, well, we did get off, we did deviate off of the subject a little bit today, but sometimes the things that we say to each other are things that need to be said anyway, and we need to laugh and have fun too.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life.
Yes,
and
Jesus.
Thank you for that we're that second born son, Father,
yes,
and that you want us to receive that dual portion, that double portion blessing. And I thank you for that. And I ask you to bless Brother Mike today as he shares the word out there. Pour yourself through him.
Yes,
give us all ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us. And I ask you to bless everyone around this table.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I ask you to help us all keep Jack in prayer, my grandson, because he's in the hospital.
Lord.
And he's got COVID pneumonia right now. So
keep him
in your prayers. And we thank you, Father, because Mark just sent a message to Margaret this morning talking about how he knew God was in control and that he's got Jack in his hands, God's hands,
yes,
you know. So we're just trusting, Lord, that you'll keep your hand of mercy and love on him.
Mm-hmm.
And bless the service as we go out there. Bless everyone as they hear the word.
Yes.
And Father, just help us all to just grow closer to you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.